Punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. Where my temperatures go? There they are. Bear with me here a second. It was me. Never mind. Let's check out some temperatures in Western Oklahoma. 64 degrees at Boise City, 51 at Beaver, 51 at May Ranch, 53 at, what is that? Is that Fairview? Yeah, Fairview. 53 at Fairview, 54 at Sealing, 58 at Butler, 58 at Hobart, 63 degrees at Tipton. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, we have 62 degrees at Odell, 62 at Wellington, 56 at Lipscomb, and 55 at Palador Reservoir. And there you have it. Happy New Year, everybody. Don't forget, writing checks now. You got to put 26 on there, 25, not 25. That's important. Got to be very important for all that stuff. We had a pretty good day off yesterday and nothing going on. I got, I'm halfway done with my heifers. I wish the other ones would hurry up. I'm tired of waiting on them. They're getting as big as balloons, and that's not a good thing. They had a big party celebration here in the studio this morning starting at 7 a.m. The early morning show with Nathan and Landry Brewer. Had a big celebration in here. Actually, KFOR Channel 4 was here to film it. Pretty cool things going on here. The bosses were in here. I think David Dyson brought some donuts in, said hello to everybody. So congratulations to Landry and Nathan. It's their 20th anniversary. That show's been going on 20 years. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to make my 20th anniversary. anyway, like I said, it was pretty cool. There's balloons, flowers, there's all kinds of crazy stuff in here. And Tony Lamar that works here, she made some cupcakes with 20th anniversary on there. It's pretty cool. So again, you see them Brewer boys, tell them congratulations on making it 20 years. And it was pretty cool to listen to some of the stories they had going on this morning. I had all kinds of stuff going on, mainly in the cattle market today. But let's start out. Let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Many commodities were still closed early Friday morning. Markets start out with a firm open this morning for a full session, which will likely be extremely low volume, said Carl Seitzer, partner with Constance Ag Consulting. Many traders shored up their positions ahead of Christmas and even more ahead of New Year's. It's unlikely many will return for one day to establish new positions. In fact, many may wait until the world report comes out in January on the 12th before really building their New Year positions. At the holiday market close, March corn was down a quarter of a penny at 440 and a quarter per bushel. March soybeans were down 14 and three quarters at 1047 and a half a bushel. March soy meal was $2.90 weaker at $2.99.40 a short ton. And March soy oil decreased 0.88 cents to $48.56 a pound. March wheat markets were weaker at close. Chicago Board of Trade was down 3 3/4 cents at $5.07 a bushel. Kansas City was down 7 1/4 at 5.14 3/4 per bushel. Minneapolis wheat dropped 4 cents at 5.60 per bushel. And in case you missed it, there was all kinds of stories still even coming out yesterday. Agriculture.com has a story covering China's decision to impose a 55% tariff on beef imports that exceed quota levels from key suppliers, including Brazil, Australia, and the U.S. So So it's not just us, it's them. Said China's Commerce Ministry said on Wednesday that total import quota for 2026 for countries covered under its new safeguard measures is 2.7 million metric tons, roughly in line with the record 2.87 million tons that it imported overall in 2024. The new annual quota levels are lower than import levels for the first 11 months of 2025 for top supplier Brazil and Australia. The increase of amount imported beef has seriously damaged their domestic industry, the ministry said in announcing the measuring fallen and investigation launched last December. In other words, they were hurting their own cattle market by importing all these. So, there you go. Let's see here. What's going on with the weather? According to the National Weather Service, in our Ag Belt, above average weather conditions will expand over the plains, according to the National Weather Service's Prediction Center. An upper ridge was expected to shift eastward over the next couple of days, with forecast highs ranging in the 50s and 60s for high plains, central plains, and the southeast. However, conditions will remain much colder and below average to the north across parts of the Midwest. The National Weather Service said active lake effect snows continue for portions of the Great Lakes, especially down wind of Ontario and Erie, as very cold westerly flow remains over the lakes. Several more inches of snow is forecast locally, more than a foot east of Lake Ontario. After a brief break, a slow-moving upper trough approaching the West Coast will help funnel Pacific moisture towards California, was expected to bring another river event. I guess they had a lot of rain. Just in time for the Rose Bowl yesterday, it quit raining, but during the parade, it was raining. If you guys watching some of that football yesterday, they're pretty wet in California, which they'll learn how to manage their water. They might be better off in that deal. And speaking of that, I was talking to a friend of mine in Las Vegas. He's in charge of all the construction crews along Las Vegas Boulevard. And he's originally from California. His mom still lives over there. And we was talking about I brought up the water situation him, since he lives there by Lake Mead and he likes to go to the lakes and stuff. And he said, what's crazy in Nevada, especially Las Vegas, is they limited the amount of watering you can do, residential watering. Like right now, the only time you can water, I think, is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And then during the summer, it's 3 days. You never can water on Sundays. I hope I remember that right. But I'm pretty close to what, if you get my picture. And you can only allowed to water so long. And they have he called it the water police. And they will drive around and they'll write you up. And he said it ain't cheap either. It's minimum fines $500. And if they've warned you before, it either doubles or triples. He said one of his neighbors got a $3,000 fine sometime last year. And then he said, what's crazy is out in California where, you know, the water from Lake Mead, I think, goes down a channel, a river, and goes into Havasu and on and all this stuff like that. He said they have no restrictions in the majority of California on watering, especially around L.A. and San Diego and places like that where they're really in a dire need of water. There's no restrictions. He said if they imposed the same restrictions in California as they do in Nevada, it would be crazy. And I know you guys heard me talk about it on the show before, and I think I went on real deep details a few years ago about the number one use of water in the United States as far as any agriculture or anything like that is of watering yards, commercial buildings, medias in the cities and stuff like that. So I'm just wondering if one of these days it's going to come about where they need to impose, instead of picking on the farmers and the ranchers about watering their grass and watering their crops, I think it would be more essential. I mean, we all love green yards. Don't get me wrong. I understand all that. Impose more restrictions on watering yards and stuff like that. But then that opens another big old can of worms. A lot of cities make good money off of selling water. And we have companies that are that do lawns and fertilize and put in water sprinkling systems. They're just, I don't know, there's just no end to who's gonna get the bad end of that stick. But I would think that food on the table and feeding our cows and stuff like that cattle would be more important. But and growing crops, I don't know. That's a big can of worms I could open right there, but I'll leave it alone. But I just want you guys to get the picture. It's shocking that California, with all the regulations on everything, I mean, it's terrible that they don't have that yard restriction. So amazing stuff. So, all right, today is Friday. Today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Hour. You guys get a chance. Go out to Wheeler, Texas. It's not that far out there. And stop by and see the Heffleys at the Wheeler General Store. And check out their store. They got a do-it-all best, whatever that is. I don't want my paper in front of me. Store in there. They got all kinds of farm supplies in there, from fence chargers, they got batteries, they got everything you need for, they got darts, they got all kinds of cool stuff in there. And of course, they're a major Hybro Pro feed dealer, and they have, I don't know what that warehouse, how big that warehouse is out there, but half of it is full of tubs, mineral and protein tubs. So it's pretty impressive place. So you get a chance to go out there and see Nathan and Charity at the store. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
If you're lucky enough to live in Western Oklahoma, you are lucky enough to be able to go to Simon's Catch as much as you want to get some of that all-you-can-eat catfish, some of those big steaks, the filet, the ribeye, and the KC strips. And you know, you always got to order those hush puppies right when you walk in with your salad. All of the steaks at Simon's Catch are USDA choice beef hand-cut meat, and they are definitely cooked to perfection. And if you think you can finish all that, you got to try out the dessert, the fresh baked brownie pie, or a cheesecake served with cherries or hot fudge, or the new root beer float. Simon's Catch is located southwest of Elk City. If you Google it, the map will take you right to the front door. From I-40, take the Merritt exit number 34, go a mile and a half south and a mile and a half west. But if you want to order ahead, log on to simonscatchok.com. Simon's Catch is open Wednesday through Thursday, 5 to 9 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 5 to 10 p.m. And if you're heading in after church on Sunday, they'll be open all day from 12 to 9. Simon's Catch is definitely the best bet for a great meal. Order in or order online at simonscatchok.com.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays from all of us at Windy Nissan of Elk City. If you're looking for a great deal on a new or used vehicle, you can find it right here at Windy Nissan, with payments starting as low as $249 a month, no payments up to 90 days, as little as $0 down approvals, and also enjoy up to $7,500 off new 2025 Nissan Pathfinders, Armadas, and Muranos in stock here at Windy Nissan of Elk City. Windy Nissan has a great selection of inventory available, with over 200 new and used vehicles to choose from. We have half-ton four-wheel drive pickups. We have diesel four-wheel drive trucks. We have large SUVs. We have small SUVs, your affordable sedans for your first-time drivers. We truly have something for everybody here at Windy Nissan of Elk City, Oklahoma. And with over 30 banks to choose from, we have financing for nearly everyone. You can view all of our inventory right here at 114 Access Road in Elk City, Oklahoma, or at WindyNissan.com. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, Odell, Texas. Here is your Texas Ag weather update. 62 degrees. The humidity's 40%. Dew point's 38. The winds are out of the north at 6 with peak wind gusts being 12 miles an hour today. No sub-freezing or red flag minutes. 8-inch soil temperature, 52 degrees. All right, let's check out the Central Crop Care of Hobart, Oklahoma's grain market update. Let me make sure she's updated. And, yep, it's open, but it's slow today. There's a lot of red on the board, but it's nothing terrible. March, Kansas City wheat, 513 currently, down 1. May is 526, down 1.25. Chicago wheat, March 506, down 1. May 517, down 1. Also, corn, March 437, down 3. May is 444, down 3.5. Soybeans, January 1027, down 3. March is 1045, down 2.25. Soybean oil, January 4850, up 43. Soybean meal, January, 291.70, down 280. March is down $3 at 296.40. Oats for March, 297, down 5.25. That caught me off guard. Speaking of oats, let me finish this report, and then we'll get back to oats. Keep oats in your brains there for a second. All right, let's see what's cattle's doing. February, live cattle. 235.75, up 415. April's 235.65, up 345. Feeders for January, 355.95, up 570. March is 352.40, up 707. And April's up $7.30 at 351.52. Wee-hee! February, lean hogs, 84.20, down 90. And April, 89.17. Down 72. Let's see what oil and natural gas is doing. Oil is at 57.01 for February, down 41. Natural gas is at 369, up 0.005. There you have it. Okay, speaking of oats. So, most of you have already seen it or heard my phone blowing up a little bit yesterday and today. The USDA reveals commodity payment rates for the Farmer Bridge Assistant Program. In a New Year's Eve press release, the USDA announced the per-acre payment rates for qualifying commodities as part of the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program, FBA. President Trump committed to increase certainty in the farm economy, and farmers can count on these payment rates calculations when going to the banks as they plan for the spring planting season, said Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins. Farmers who qualify for the FBA program can expect payments in the bank accounts by February the 28th of 2026. Rollins added these one-time payments give farmers the bridge to continue to feed and clothe America and the world while the Trump administration continues opening new markets and strengthening the farm safety net. The USDA is making this process as simple and seamless as possible so producers can focus on what they do best, feeding and fueling our nation. Below are the payment rates for the FBA eligible commodities. that triggered a payment, including $44.36 for corn. Well, I'll just read them off here. Barley, $20.51. Canola, $23.57. Chickpeas large is $26.46. Chickpeas small, $33.36. Corn's at $44.36 per acre. Cotton is $117.35. Flax is at $8.05. Mustard, $23.21. Oats, this is what got my attention a while ago. Oats, $81.75. I have no clue why, where, how they come up with this. I mean, I know there's a few people around that grow oats, but I just caught me off guard. Peanuts are $55.65 a acre. Peas are $19.60. Rice was the highest on this list at $132.89. And safflower was $24.86. Sesame, $13.68. Sorghum, $48.11. And soybeans, $30.81. Sunflower, $17.32. Last but not least on the list is wheat, $39.35. So, FBA payments are based on 2025 planted acres, what you planted last year, economic research, service cost of production, and the World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimate Report, double crop acres, including all initial and subsequently the planted crops are eligible. Prevent plant acres are not eligible. All intended row crop uses are eligible for FBA except grazing, volunteer stands, experimental, green manure, crops left standing, and abandoned or cover crops. There you have it. So, it's easy to check out. Just, you can contact your local USDA FSA office if you need to, but I think they've already got everything. They know what you planted last year, and if curiosity's just killing you, you can call them, but they're, usually, when they announce something like this, it's usually a week or two before it even gets down to the local offices. They got to have their limelight, so we know what's going on there. So that there, but that oats deal that caught me off guard. I don't know why. And I've been hearing these stories about cotton farmers, look what they got, and the rice farmers and all that. Well, here's some opinions. One is they got better lobbyists in Washington is one of them. But I was talking to a cotton farmer this morning. I'm not going to mention no names. You know, cotton farmers, yeah, they had it good there 3 or 4 years ago when it was at a dollar. But that's rare. It's the same thing with corn farmers. You know, it was up around $8. Wheat farmers 4 or 5 years ago, it was up around $10. Now look at it all. It all just stinks. Every crop on here that I've listed, it stinks. The prices stinks. Our inputs are higher, commodity prices are down lower, and you know, and as far as a lot of guys says, we're going to get these bridge payments. It's going to go right through a farmer and rancher's bank account, right out the door, and go to pay down operating notes or bill that they owe for chemicals or fertilizer to other companies. It just It gets there fast and it leaves fast. How's that? And, but he said, cotton farmers have taken a hit for years and years and years. And just one of those deals that, it's a deal, but I could pretty much say that not on all these crops, but on a lot of these crops, the same thing. So it is what it is. It'll be fine. Take it or leave it. And we'll see what happens there. Speaking of fires earlier, I heard Kyle Shavinky, fire chief here at Elk City, talking about the fire up north of town the other day on Kiowa Road. It's just going to be routine for me to talk about these fire situation reports the forestry department puts out every day because I want awareness is everything. And it says here, statewide discussion, light rainfall occurred in the overnight from southwestern Oklahoma into eastern Oklahoma. I missed it somewhere. Otherwise, dry conditions and above normal temperatures continue holding. It says here, Sunday. This is the one they picked out, and so I want to read the Sunday report. An uptick in fire danger will reemerge Sunday afternoon with the return of southerly winds, emphasizing western Oklahoma and southwestern Oklahoma. Given current forecast inputs, there will be an offset given with humidity values above 30%, excluding the panhandle of Oklahoma and Texas, and the cloud covers in place. Temperatures 20 degrees above normal and continued dry conditions over dormant fuels will present some suppression difficulty with winds potentially above 15 miles an hour. In general, rangeland fuels will exhibit head fire rates of spread of 155 feet per minute with flame lengths around 13 foot, conditions moderate with sunset. So I'll keep you on the up and up. If I see something come out on the weekend, I'll post it on our KECO-FM Facebook page. And of course, according to this map, the only county in a burn ban in the state of Oklahoma is Grady County. And there you have it. Okay, let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and I'll be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Are feral hogs causing damage to your land and crops? Try Kaput, our highly effective bait designed specifically for feral hog control. Kaput targets hogs where it hurts, helping you protect your property and your livestock. Don't wait for the damage to get worse. Call us or stop by today at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City to learn more about Kaput. Follow us on Facebook for the latest updates and solutions.
Need to dig it? Then it's time to rent it. But call 811 first, and then head on over to DJ's Rentals and Sales and let their knowledgeable staff help you get it started. Whether it's a backhoe, a post-hole digger, a mini excavator, or a skid steer that you need to help make that job a little easier. You can find them all and more at DJ's Rentals and Sales, 911 South Main Street in Elk City. Text them on the text line at 580-799-7214. Find and follow them on Facebook. And don't forget to call 811 first.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Life gets a lot easier when you've got the tools to handle the cold, like generators, because losing power is not an option. Propane heaters and portable heaters keep you warm and working. Heated jackets and vests keep your core warm. Gloves for your vehicle, anti-freezing wiper fluid, battery charger, engine starters, flashlights, rechargeable hand warmers, WeatherTech floor mats to protect your floorboard, D-Gel diesel, scrapers, and de-icer. You know who's got all this. Napa Auto Parts in Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more, anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You've got a problem, an issue, you can usually sit down and we can get it figured out while you're there. If it's something that we can't figure out right that day, it's usually within a day because everybody's accessible. If there's something that needs to be done loan-wise, we can get that ran to wherever it needs to go. Or if you just need help up front with some accounts or whatnot, I can walk you up there and introduce you to somebody and hang out with you and talk you through it. I can explain to Tammy or Tori or someone up front, hey, we've been discussing this. This is where we're at.
I'm Utah Robinson, and I help make the difference. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Yeah, farmers can be pretty tough because it's a hard world in farming. You know, in the farming market, it's tough. So they're going to do all they can to get the best deal they can, and we're going to give it to them. Everything for maintenance on your equipment, changing your oils. You need some antifreeze. You need some hydraulic oil. Any kind of grease. We got the bolts and fasteners now. We're opening up electrical fittings, zip ties, penetrating oils. Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Wow. All right. I just seen something I'm probably going to share with you guys here in just a little bit. But first, here's your weather outlook for your ag weather outlook for Hooker, Oklahoma, out in the Panhandle, 57 degrees, dew points 28, humidity's 32. The winds are out southeast at 4 miles an hour. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 40 degrees. Sunset, 5:39, 62 and increasing clouds today. Then tonight, mostly clear and 30. Tomorrow, Saturday, pretty sweet. 64 degrees with northwest winds switching, coming back out of the south, 5 to 10 miles an hour. And there you have it. Okay, let's go to this deal here. So, the livestock auction barn at Valentine, Nebraska, set a record. Highest price ever recorded for 8 weights in the United States. 68 steers weighing 803 pounds brought 408.50 per hundred. Wait, and I didn't even do the math. I figured it out real quick, but 803 times what? 408. Let's just go with 408. $3,276.24 for an 803 pound steer. That is just amazing. So I'm going to go through the top 10 registered highest prices for 8-weight steers in the United States. And I'll give you the dates. So that 68 head at 803 was in September. That 9-4. Yeah, that'd be September. And then Crawford, Nebraska, 72 head weighing 814, brought 401. That was in October. Pratt, Kansas, 109, weighing a head, weighing 802, brought 450 per hundred weight. Fourth highest was in Valentine, Nebraska on October the 13th. 129 head, weighing 832 pounds, brought 400 even. Valentine, Nebraska, 66 head. Back in the same day, they set the national record for the highest. In September, 810 brought 399. Valentine, Nebraska, in October, 118 head, 821 brought 395.50 per hundred weight. Hub City, South Dakota, 72 head weighing 860 brought 395.25 per hundred weight back in late October. And then in October of 15th in Bassett, Nebraska, 31 head weighing 812 brought 395. And Ulagalla, Nebraska, that's 15 head weighing 813 brought 395 on the 16th of October. Woo-hoo. That's big boy money there. That'll pay your cotton stripper off. I'm just kidding. Anyway, I seen a deal that I wanted to share with you guys. I'm not going to share. I'm just going to tell you about it. So if you go to beefdaily.com and get on there, and there's a article in there on calving. If you click on the calving tab on there, there's a really cool article in there and videos to go with it called Calving with Stella. And they did an interview, Beef did an interview with them, and they looked into real-life calving situations and how to deal with the problems that can occur. I'm not trying to make you guys all a vet. That's not what I'm doing, but it's pretty cool. So Katie Rain, Dr. Rain, owner of Crazy Mountain Veterinarian Service in Harlowton, Montana, again, offers a hands-on clinic to address common calving problems. Her partner is Stella. It is a life-size model cow complete with her rubber calf, which is used to demonstrate delivery techniques to ranchers, ranch hands, ag educators, and students. Jed Irvine and his wife Annie have managed the American Fork Ranch in Sweetgrass County, Montana for 29 years. They've been through nearly every calving situation imaginable. Jed said there's always something to gain from Dr. Rain's sessions. using Stella. And it says, I go to every session of possible, he said. I have Katie train my crew. This is the best demonstration in cabin besides the real thing that I can think of. It's even better because it saves on trial and error mistakes that can cost the life of a calf or a cow or both. Beef is again posting a three-part video series addressing calving problems for producers. So you go to this website, it's got it on general assistance with assisting the cow if you need it. And I know a lot of guys when they got every situation is different. A guy's got a lot of calves that they're calving. Sometimes they just go ahead and help them pull it and get it done, even though they probably could have had it themselves. And then other situations. And then delivering a breech calf, Rain uses Stella to show how to administer the epidural anesthesia prior to delivering a breech calf, and goes through her recommended delivery procedures. And then prolapse, the worst, I think, goes through that also. And so just check it out. It's a three-part video series, and it's pretty handy. So I think that's kind of interesting myself. Let's see here. What else we got going on? It is time. Consumer. So the consumer grades for protein drives beef demand, and it's not going away, guys. You see all these. I don't know how many of you guys are on social media, but a lot of people is, beef. That's what you need. Beef and eggs. That's all you need. Beef and eggs. You don't need any of that other stuff. Go with your beef and eggs. But they had this is how much the price of beef has gone up since 2006. So back in 2006, uncooked beef steaks were running around $5 to $5.50 a pound. Now it's right around average $11.49. Ground beef, around $2, a little over $2 back in 2006. Now it's at $6.12. So basically, it's tripled in cost, according to this report. The industry has made substantial progress in beef quality with strong consumer demand, supporting premium pricing. Quality grade improvements and consistency have been major success stories. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics shows the average retail price of ground beef was at $6.32 in August. This is up from $6.25 in July and $5.74 in August of 2024. Prices for certain beef cuts may ease with the end of the peak grilling season, but ground beef remains historically high. Don Close, Terrain Senior Animal Protein Analyst, says, what we have seen so far in consumers has been incredibly loyal to protein, but they have been especially loyal to beef. Beef is actually continuing to gain market there, even at the current prices and at the expense of other protein. Close says when he correlates the monthly all-fresh beef price to hourly wages, he's found they are in a lockstep. Yes, beef prices have escalated, but beef prices have not risen any faster than the improvement in the overall hourly wage. So from the consumer's perspective, their share of the paycheck committed to beef is essentially the same as it has been comparable for years. Nothing new there, he says. Other contributing factors to beef demand include consumers' craze for protein and the impact of the GLP-1 diets on protein consumption. According to Dave Weber, Terrain Senior Animal Protein Analyst, beef spending has dramatically increased since COVID-19, outpacing pork and poultry combined. Weber says consumers are now spending about $84 more per capita annually on beef compared to the 2005 to 2015 period. He attributes these factors: improved beef quality, changing of consumer preferences. Younger generations are spending more on high quality beef, both in restaurants and at home, driven by increased cooking skills and appreciation for beef flavor and quality. Number 3, the biggest one, health perception. beef is now viewed as more positively as a health product with increased transparency and better communication from the industry. There you have it. Close says the role of strong demand cannot be ignored and is likely to continue into 2026. He said somewhere, he says, I think it's certainly, you think it's going to continue majorly through 2026 and maybe already into 2027, he thinks. The State of the Beef Industry report includes input from nearly 500 beef producers. The annual report provides information to help producers on making decisions. There you have it. So, speaking of making decisions, you guys that are thinking about doing heifers, stuff like that, now's a great opportunity if you didn't do it after the 2010-11 drought, or if you want to even prove it more. Heifers, bred heifers, both, either one, they're going to cost you. That's all there is to it. I mean, it's the demand, and plus, look at where the market's at. And so choose wisely. Take this opportunity to improve your herd genetics. I say it almost daily, if not two or three times a week, that our genetics have improved so much since the 70s and 80s, and that's helping with our beef demand. And if you get a chance to improve your genetics, you'll see it at the sale barn, I promise you. You take some really good number ones going through there. Those buyers know what they're looking at. And if you just want to keep your cow herd the way it is right now, that's your business. I'm not downplaying that or downgrading it, whatever you want to say. But if you want to improve it, you're talking, $25 to $50 per 100 weight. So you take a 500-pound calf, that's a couple $100, and take it times, if you're a 100-cow operation, that's a lot of money per year by just improving your genetics just a little bit. Take this opportunity to improve the genetics and get you a good bull. There's so many good bulls available in Western Oklahoma. It's not even funny with all the people we have raising bulls in Oklahoma and in Texas. Just improve your genetics just a little bit, and it'll pay off in the long run for you. That's your Jimmy's tip of the day. All right, let's take a Wheeler General Store break. We'll be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more. So go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is a lot more than just a cattle show. See for yourself January 4th through the 14th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics, something for every operation. Enjoy the commercial cattlemen's luncheon January 8th at 11 a.m. with the commercial female replacement sale at 1 p.m. For a full schedule and sale information, visit cattlemenscongress.com. This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 12th. 1,580 head were sold, 10 head of steers at 455, brought 487.50, 5 at 552, brought 415, 9 at 603, brought 367.50, 14 at 670, brought 357.50, 18 at 713, brought 349, 7 at 759, brought 321.50, 6 head of heifers at 463, brought 427.50, 7 at 503, brought 402.50, 10 at 523, brought 400, 8 at 561, brought 372.50, 3 at 588, brought 335, 9 at 644, brought 350, 11 at 789, brought 335. Butcher cows were 64 to 180, butcher bulls 120 to 188.50, bred cows 1300 to 4350, pairs 2100 to 3750. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6097.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Okay, here's your Hober Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. I picked the capital of Wichita County, Cordell, 61 degrees, dew point's 34, the humidity's 35, the winds are out of the northeast at 3 miles an hour, 47 is your 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, sunset at 5:35, mostly sunny, 64 today, 35 and clear tonight and tomorrow, 59, a little cooler than yesterday, not yesterday, but today, but still, I'll take 59, anyway. If you haven't heard, New World screwworm found in a newborn calf 197 miles from the U.S. border. And I'm kind of assuming, I'm not sure my cattle advisor is out of the, he's gone for the holidays. But right now, I was looking at the feeders and they're bucking the $8 mark up today. So, more on this coming up. Texas producers need to remain on alert as the New World screwworm continues to move north. The newest detection is out of the state of Tamaulipas. However you say that. Close, anyway. That's pretty close, and that's not that far. On December 27th, Mexico's National Service of Agro Health Safety and Quality reported a new case of New World screwworm in a 6-day-old calf somewhere down there, 197 miles south of the border. According to the Texas Animal Health Commission, there has been no other detections in that area or evidence of an established fly population. To support a swift response, if New World screwworm reaches Texas, producers located on the southern border and travelers from the New World screwworm affected areas should closely monitor animals for signs and promptly report those. And a suspected New World screwworm case requires immediate action, but it all starts with one thing, your call, they're saying. If you suspect an infestation, report it right away. The Texas Animal Health Commission recently posted a video explaining the process for producers to take any take if they suspect a New World screwworm. And the Texas producer, beef producer Donald Brown, says the New World screwworm poses a real threat to rural America, and not only to cattle, but as we all know, Texas is a big state of high fences and big hunt ranches, and it's three times the business that the cow business is down there. So hopefully everything turned out pretty good on that part. Let's see here. What else? I need to follow up. I did a story Wednesday, if you guys were tuned in Wednesday, and I was talking about burning Bermuda grass, when, why, and how, and why not, and all this other stuff. Well, I didn't see this until after the show. And one of the things is remember that burnt charcoal will deactivate the herbicides for 6 weeks. So think about that when you're burning. Get with your agronomist. Get with Kent Watkins down there at SEI or something. Ask a question. I never thought about that. So he said, remember that burnt charcoal will deactivate the herbicide for at least 6 weeks. And interesting. Thank you, Kent, for sharing that. I wish I'd looked at my deal the other day. So we're going to do a little quick memory on memorable tractors that changed hands at auction in 2025. Normally, I wrap up the year by highlighting some of the most interesting iron that never got much attention on our social media. This year, though, I wanted to do something a little different. According to Ryan Rozenek, I hope I said that right, but it's close. You guys know him. Well, Ryan, he's a pretty good guy. He lives down the road here. No, he doesn't. I'm just kidding. He says, this year I wanted to do something a little different instead of focusing on a handful of my favorite tractors. That's what he's focusing on, that changed hands at auctions last year. Some were record setters, some weren't, but every one of them was cool in its own right. 1975 John Deere 6030. It's no secret that I'm a sucker for factory-built hot rods, and I always love the styling of the 6030, especially when the big Wheatlands with the big Wheatland fenders. I remember paging through the catalog and being generally impressed by the equipment lineup, particularly this tractor. It was listed as all original machine with fewer than 4,800 hours. It certainly looked like it had been well cared for, and the bidders agreed. When the hammer fell, it brought just a tick under $57,000. I haven't sat down with TZ Pro data to prove it, but it feels like there's a renewed appreciation for those tractors in their work clothes. Also, in 1995, New Holland 8870, the story of the Genesis tractors, is one of the great success stories of farm equipment in the 80s and 90s. A group of people, many of whom have never worked together, came together and built the absolutely world beater. The Genesis line is tough as nails and, in my opinion, some of the most durable tractors ever built. Dirk Isley owned this 8870 for more than 29 years, and it may have been the nicest original Genesis I've ever seen. Based on the rest of the equipment in the sale, I feel fairly certain it was still wearing its original paint. Good gravy. It was pretty. And let's see here. It was well optioned, 4 remotes, nearly a full rack of front weights, power shift, quick hitch, 42-inch rubber on the back, and 28s up front. And it sold for $75,500. The Farmall 856. Boy, that sucker looks cute. It's got more, must be a pulling tractor. It's got more weights on it than I've ever seen on a tractor. Man alive, if this 856 doesn't look like it's crossing the scales for the 15,000-pound Super Stock Classic at Effingham County Fair, it does. It's cool. Let's see here. The really cool part, this tractor has a King Brothers turbo kit installed. The King's Brother dealership in Illinois engineered these kits in the 60s by adapting components for the IHTD 15 dozer back in the late 60s. And on the PTO dyno, the 856 was good for 220 horse. So that turbo definitely made its present known. It sold for $27,500 at a sale in Indiana. And then the last one here, the white 270 1982 model. It's a rare tractor. It's a red white stripe 270 front wheel assist. And this one comes with especially a good story. It never technically sold at it from a dealer. The dealer had it. This sucker is almost, it's basically brand new. It brought $75,600. And what does it say here? That's about all it says about it. It's a pretty cool tractor. No cab on it, though. I'm out. All right, that's it, folks. We'll see you Monday morning. Have a great weekend. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. God bless, everybody.